Sai Ram, dear listeners, and welcome to Utsah, the youth hour on Radio Sai. For all those who are young at heart and who have the drive, the enthusiasm, the energy and the commitment to lead a life that is exciting. To lead a life that is an exciting business. As Helen Keller said, life is an exciting business, but it is most exciting when it is lived for others. And so many of us have been blessed to actually see the life of the one whose life is indeed the most exciting life ever on earth. We are going to discuss more about this most exciting person and how to make our lives truly exciting just like his. But let's begin with some music. We start today's episode of Utsah with a beautiful melody that glorifies this exciting relationship that exists between Krishna and Radha. This is the Krishna season. In a few days, we are going to celebrate Krishna Janmashtami. Let's immerse ourselves in this exciting and elevating relationship. This is a song that Swami himself had written and taught many years ago when the students staged a Radha Bhakti drama during the 60th birthday celebrations. This was a drama that was authored, directed, produced, perfected by our own Sai Krishna, cause he alone knows how Radha loved him. He alone knows how Radha is without any Aadhaar, any basis without him. Let's listen to this immortal song in the voice of Brother Ravi Kumar.
Prabhu mi naam chintane sadanandamu Radha Bhakti Lokaniki Shanti Parvatam Prabhu mi naam chintane sadanandamu Radha Bhakti Lokaniki Shanti Parvatam Kadali Karchuram Kammani Cherupurasam Kadali Karchuram Kammani Cherupurasam Chakkera Tene Pandlu Saravihinalu Prabhu mi nama mi radha ku madhuraharam Prabhu mi nama mi radha ku madhuraharam Vi karuna hari hari mi smarana Vi karuna hari hari mi smarana Adiye bhushanam dhara poshanam E radha bhakti prati jeeviki mukti sadhakam Prabhu mi naam chintane sadanandamu E radha bhakti lokaniki shanti parvatam E radha bhakti lokaniki shanti parvatam E radha bhakti lokaniki shanti parvatam
Prabhu ni naamami Ni nama chintane sadanandamu e radha bhakti lokaniki shanti parvatam. It is such a profound sentence Bhagwan has himself written. Swami says that the devotion of Radha is like a mountain of peace for this world. What gives us bliss is only his name, and the devotion of Radha is like a mountain of peace. And then the song goes, O Lord, in front of your name, all the other fruits, the dates, the sugar cane, honey, everything else seems tasteless when it compares to your name. Your name alone is the nectarous food for Radha. Your compassion and your name, they are the jewels, they are the sustenance for the Mother Earth. And the bhakti of Radha is the pathway to every sadhaka's mukti. How to get liberated? The pathway is shown by Radha. Radha Bhakti is that mountain of peace. The world can give us pleasure, but only the divine can give us peace. That is the difference between the joys and pleasures of the world outside and the ecstasies and the thrills derived from the world inside. And during the World Youth Festival in Prashant Nilayam During July 12 to 14, 2016, we saw how each of the 3,000 youth who had gathered here were joyfully peaceful, were blissfully peaceful, were excitingly peaceful. They were thrilled to be here. They were thrilled with the peace of their bhakti to Bhagwan. In the last episode of Utsah, I told you the story of Kapil from United Kingdom who pined to be a part of the World Youth Festival, who worked hard behind the scenes for weeks and months to make this festival a wonderful reality, but himself did not know if he would actually make it to Parthi because of his turbulences, because of the turbulences happening in his professional life. His professional life was in complete shambles. He had no job for almost a year. He had no clue where his life is headed. And then magically everything turned around. He not only got a dream job just in the nick of time, but also Swami arranged it in such a way that he could attend the festival and then start the new chapter of professional life on a fresh and jubilant note. As someone says, God likes to stretch us to the 11th hour and 59th second. Well, perhaps only then it becomes really thrilling, I guess. He will never allow us to fall, but He will take us to the brim. And then we come out brimming with joy, brimming with gratitude, brimming with an exalting experience. We come out with moments we can never ever forget. Moments that the world outside could have never ever given us, could have never created that kind of a magic for us. The Lord sometimes seemingly gives us unbearable tests so that He can later convert them into unquestionable testimonies of His love. Our life, in fact, is never in a mess. It is just that God is preparing the ground to give us a message. And we had so many stories like this in the World Youth Festival. I remember talking to Ritesh, another youth from United Kingdom. He is a medical doctor. And exactly during the World Youth Festival week, he had been allotted night shifts. And these really cannot easily be swapped with anyone else. But somehow, Swami worked it out for him in such a way that he found another slot of night shift, not yet allotted to anyone, and he could in time switch his work to that slot and make it to Parthi. Just that week was available. Like this, if you take the story of each youth, everyone has a story of the incredible presence pulling the strings in their lives. And in the first episode of Utsah, I invited all of you, dear brothers and sisters who are part of the youth festival, to share such stories with us. And I'm so happy to now narrate the story of Ankit Mittal, who has swiftly responded to this request. Ankit says that in mid-March 2016, he planned a trip to be in Shirdi with his family and a few Sai devotees. So they were to visit Shirdi between July 6th and 9th, 2016. One of the devotees going with them was a revered elder by name Uma Verma Saima. Ankit respects her a lot because it was she who brought him to Swami. She has been a devotee for over 30 years and had guided Ankit on so many occasions in his spiritual journey. So 1 month before this trip, on June 12th, this revered Uma Verma Saima calls Ankit and says, "Ankit, you should go to Parthi in July. There is a World Youth Festival happening there." And Ankit says, "But Ma, I have already made bookings and tickets for Shirdi." She says, "Doesn't matter, you go to Parthi, the rest of us will go to Shirdi. You can visit Shirdi some other time, but don't miss the World Youth Festival. Cancel your tickets to Shirdi and book your trip to Puttaparthi." Now Ankit didn't know what to do. He thought about it, he tried to tell his family, but they said, "Hello, you are the one who planned this trip to Shirdi, and now you don't want to go? Then we will also not go to Shirdi." And it needed a lot of persuasion from Ankit to convince his mother and everyone else that visiting Parthi is very important for him now, and that they should all travel to Shirdi because all arrangements are made. And finally, somehow he convinced them. The family reconciled with this. But now there was an issue at the professional front. He is part of a 3-member team in his company, and one of his team members also was going on leave exactly during that time, July 13th to 15th. So to get leave during that period was not going to be easy. Again, quite unexpectedly, his boss said, "It's okay, you book your tickets. Just in case there is a problem, be ready to cancel. But doesn't matter, you make your plans." And so he got his tickets done to Puttaparthi, and he did land up in Prashantilam in time for the World Youth Festival. But the most interesting thing is this. He says, when he books his tickets online in the Indian Railways website, the website has a limitation. You can book 6 seats per ticket. And when Ankit was doing this reservation for Shirdi, for some strange reason, he had the Guruma as part of his family and had excluded himself in the 6. He had booked his ticket separately later. It's quite unusual thing for him to do. He had no clue why he did it that way then. It just happened. And now when he thinks about it, he just marvels at how Bhagwan's master plan works, because it was almost as if Swami knew that he was coming to Parthi. His ticket was not clubbed with the rest, so it was very easy for him to cancel his single ticket to Shirdi and book it to Puttaparthi while all his family traveled without any problem to Shirdi. When he thinks about it, he says, it is so incredible. I mean, you are not the one who decides to come to Swami. He is the one who is in control all the time. And Ankit adds, being part of the World Youth Festival was an amazing experience of a lifetime for me. Isn't Swami there so potently, so palpably, so powerfully in our lives? Let's now listen to someone from Puttaparthi who witnessed the World Youth Festival at close quarters. Brother Amey Deshpande, who is a faculty member in the Department of Management Studies and Commerce in Prashantinilam. Sairam Brother Amey, and welcome to Utsah, the Youth Hour on Radio Sai.
Thank you, Brother Bishu.
I'm really so happy that you're there for this second episode of Utsah. And you know, the genesis of Utsah is the World Youth Festival. And looking at the energy, the enthusiasm, their spiritual fervor, their dynamism, and you know, it really sent so many positive vibes, such powerful, colossal positive vibes that I felt that, you know, we all felt that we really need to keep this momentum going. And Utsah is a very, very tiny step in that direction to keep that Josh celebrating Swami in our lives, you know, for all the time. And you are someone who was part of the World Youth Festival. You had a chance to make a presentation and interact with the youth there. So what are those moments that are still alive, they're still fresh and vibrating in you?
Well, yeah, actually, exactly as you said, Utsah is the word that we can actually use to describe it. In fact, I think the World Youth Conference has been a year in the making. And even while I heard it during the 90th birthday that such a thing is going to happen, we were all gearing up. In fact, I would say the hostel and Prashantinilam itself was gearing up for the World Youth Conference. Such a thing hadn't happened since 2007. Also, it was a little bit of mixed feelings as to how well this will go on, because all of us miss Swami's physical presence. And, you know, with the youth and with the energy that they come, who is going to match that energy from Prashantinilayam side? That was something that was going on in my mind, because I remember back in 2007 when the last time it had happened, and the kind of, you know, enthusiasm Swami had.
Yes.
Swami was this ever youthful, ever utsahi person,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So who's going to match that? And that was one of the kind of apprehensions, I should say, I had. But, you know, they just came here. And so the couple of things that I remember was when we were getting ready. And so we had a couple of video conferences with the organizing team about this bhajan workshop that we were going to do. There was this brother we were talking at about, I think, 7 o'clock in the evening. We were having the video conference, and there was this brother who was the World Youth Conference coordinator, and he was in Australia. It was, I think, 1 o'clock over there. And he was telling us about, he inviting us, you know, over to the workshop, and how he's happy that the workshop is there, and what would he like in the workshop, etc., etc. And he was saying, you know, we plan to do this in Prashantinilam, and we are planning to do that in Prashantinilam, and this is all that is going to happen. And I was wondering, so at the end, I in fact happened to tell him that, you know what, you seem to be more connected to Prashantinilam than I am. We are sitting here in Prashantinilam, and you are actually inviting us to an event in Prashant Indriyam. So I said, you know what, I don't want to miss this opportunity to actually invite you guys over to my home or our home. I just felt like brothers and sisters, you know, who don't stay at home, who work outside around the world in different places. When we have a family reunion, how one feels. And so that enthusiasm was something that just blew us all away. The kind of, you know, exactly as you said, celebrating Swami in our lives, it is still so strong. So that was one thing that definitely my first impressions about the World Youth Conference. Because the second thing that hit me was, even a week before the World Youth Conference, there were groups of youth from various parts of the country, South Africa, Mauritius, Australia, all of them coming down and having their Partiyatra, in fact, as a build-up to the World Youth Conference. And so we had a chance to interact with a few of them, and you know how seriously they had taken it. This was not like a vacation for them. This was like a pilgrimage for them, right? And there's a huge difference between a vacation and a pilgrimage. These were not people who were coming here to have fun. Yeah, fun is a part of spirituality, but this is serious fun, you know. This is something which is life transforming. These things don't happen often in your life. It's like we going to Vatican or we going to Mecca, you know, once in our life. The Hajj happens once in a lifetime. And for many of the brothers, youngsters, maybe about 19, 20 years old, they were saying that the last time they had come to Parthi was when they were 9, 10 years old. And so when I said, when are you all going to come back again? They said, you know, we don't know. The last time I came was 10 years back. Maybe it will take me another 10 years. And that's when it really hit me that we staying here in Prashant Indriyam, we take things for granted, but here are brothers and sisters who have put in, you know, all of their hard work, all of their hard money to actually make this pilgrimage. And so they want it to work for them. They want to get felt and, you know, to be touched by this place. And when you come with that kind of a feeling, you're obviously, I mean, you also touch others and others also, you know, kind of touch you. And that's really what happened.
What you wouldn't have gained staying here for 10 years, in one day they would gain that.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Because of the 10 years of pining to be here.
Correct, correct. So, I mean, that is something that really inspired me. That how important I need to consider myself staying here, you know, every day, how important it is to sit in Gulwant Hall, etc. I think the other thing that that really inspired me was all of the youth around the world and their love for bhajans. You know, it is just mind-blowing to see these programs in the evening in the Double Decker building in Prashant Indriyam. And it was buzzing. It was like, it didn't feel like 10 o'clock at night.
Puttaparthi got talent.
Puttaparthi's got talent. And just the love for bhajans. I wasn't sure, you know, whether this much of enthusiasm actually exists in the world. I know that bhajans are a universally unifying factor around the Sai world. But I had always thought that, you know, what we sing over here are Sanskrit bhajans. While there should be more of English bhajans and Spanish bhajans and Chinese bhajans and Russian bhajans happening around the world. But no, I was wrong. In fact, the Sanskrit bhajans and the bhajans we sing over here, you know, even brothers and sisters who are not able to pronounce words properly are still, you know, they love bhajans. And I think this only Swami can do. This magic only Swami can create. Right? It's a true revolution that has been created and being sustained and perpetrated across the world. In the current scenario, when we are seeing all sorts of atrocities around the world, and most of them carried out by youth, right? You look at the shootings in United States, or you look at the calamities in Syria or in the Europe, and, you know, in a stark and absolute stark contrast, when you look at Prashant Indriyam, where everybody's focused on how, you know, samasta loka sukino, how do I make the world a better place? How do I make my life a better place? I think it was an eye-opener. To all of us. And how through a very simple thing like bhajans, today, you know, in fact, we had played a clipping of the discourse where Swami says how the youth is wasting their time in singing film songs and in singing all meaningless songs. Very beautifully, very cutely, Swami says, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, we are just wasting our time. And I think Swami would have been so proud to see all his children around the world focused on bhajans, wanting to sing bhajans better, wanting to excel and make an impact. So that was the other
music thing. Is such a powerful medium. I think for anybody across all age groups, especially the youth, you know, I think, and with the modern technology, you always have something going on.
Yes.
And if it is something which can elevate you.
Yes, I think, see, words have a definite limitation in expressing our emotion. But I think the closest language to emotion is music.
Yes.
What exactly I am feeling, I can convey it through music.
Correct.
Just by the magic of seven notes or five notes, I am able to exactly describe the emotion that I have. Mm. And I think that is something that the youth also want to do, because I think one of the things about what the youth is really going through is their... You look at the social media, the whole gamut of social media, and it's all about, you know, everybody wants to express, right? We want to all the time express what is, so anything comes, any event happens around the world, the first thing we want to do is what I feel about it, you know? And I think here Swami has given us this beautiful social media platform of bhajans that, you know, don't express to the world, you express to God. Whatever is your subtle most feeling, if there is some calamity happening out there, pour out your feelings through bhajans to God and let the Lord take over. You know, let the Lord get into action. So, I think that is why music also has a very unifying factor.
Fantastic. You know, the word that comes to my mind, as we express everything that we want to communicate to the outside world, I think what you all are doing is impress, you know. We are communicating it inside.
Yes, yes.
And we are doing it so powerfully that we get connected to something which is the infinite source of strength, energy and love.
True.
You know, I think, and that's how you feel more fulfilled doing this process of impress than the process of express.
Correct.
And I think the Sai youth have discovered that.
Yeah, I really hope, you know, that because this is something which is making a, you know, tremendous impact. Everybody wants to, for example, you know, there were selfies galore.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to connect and let the world know they were here, etc.
Yeah.
And that there's nothing wrong in it.
Mm.
While, you know, the only little thought that in my mind was that all of us are a family. Okay, all of us need to get connected, etc. But I think who's the head of our family, you know?
Yes.
He is the Lord whom we can connect to at any time. And through him only we are able to connect to each other.
Exactly.
Otherwise, what is my connection with a brother or sister from Argentina?
Yes.
Or from Brazil or, you know, from Mexico, for example.
Yes.
I have no connection with them at all. So, why not connect through Swami?
Yes.
Make Swami the, you know, the server or the central server through which I can connect to the rest of the world.
I think they were having their selfie with the higher self.
Exactly.
You know, because I remember as you're talking about this, you know, I had what was happening in the double-decker building. Even as all that fun was happening, you know, a lot of energy. But there were a lot of youth who just wanted a selfie, a picture with Bhagwan's altar and Bhagwan's chair placed there, you know. That was the most cherished moment for them.
Correct.
That's what they want to preserve.
Yes.
So I think they were all having selfie with their higher self.
Yeah.
A symbolization of that was what was Bhagwan's chair.
Correct.
I think that was...
Yeah. And I think, as you said, you know, impress that into our hearts and our minds and, you know, use that. And maybe the last thing that I would like to say is, you know, what I remember from the World Youth Conference was... it transformed Prashanthi Nilayam itself.
Yeah.
Prashanthi Nilayam for those 7-8 days or maybe the entire Guru Purnima, it was a different place. You
festival.
Know? Festival, exactly. It was called the World Youth Festival.
Festival.
And, you know, the, one of the big testimonies to that was something that we see only on 11th of Jan, okay, which is our sports meet day.
Yes.
You know, when all of us are up and, you know, away. And so one of the days I had an opportunity to go to our ground where all the youth were coming and each one was either there was a yoga or there was Tai Chi going on one side. And then there was a satsang happening at 5:30 in the morning on the Hanuman top.
Oh.
And I was surprised to see 600 people singing bhajans on the Hanuman top.
Wow.
And I was actually, very frankly, when they said, the brother, can you come, you know, to share some experiences, I was expecting like 25, 30 people.
Yeah.
Because in such a busy routine of Prashanthi Nilayam.
I think the schedule is very tight.
Very tight for them, you know, all through the day, the sessions, plus sitting in the mandir, the programs were getting over at 7, 7.15.
Yes.
And then after that dinner, then post.
Yeah, in their session at 9.
9, yes. And then getting up in the morning and then going through that. So I was expecting like 25, 30 people. And here, you know, here I was pleasantly...
Not surprised,
shocked,
but stunned.
Stunned, yes. By 600, 500, 600 boys and girls
wow.
on top doing bhajans. And I'm sure Hanuman also would have been...
he would have been so delighted.
You're delighted to see all his, his friends.
Young soldiers of Swami.
Correct. And I was told, so when I said, no, so many people, I was talking to the coordinator.
Mm.
And he said, "Arey Ameya, they have been waiting from 4:30 in the morning."
Mm-hmm.
So, I think their meeting place in the mandir was the North Indian canteen.
Mm-hmm.
All of them were supposed to assemble in the North Indian canteen.
Oh.
And from here, they were supposed to go to the ground.
Wow.
And he was telling me that there was one couple of brothers who had got up at 3:30 in the morning and they wanted to know how come nobody is here. We were supposed to go.
Oh my God.
And this person who had just walked out, to organize things, he said, "Brother, it is still 3:30. We are going at 5:30. So, okay. So, I've got time, right? I can go back and come.
And
these kind of times were not known for the last 5 years.
Correct.
You were so used to the, yes. I would say, in many ways, when Swami's physical presence, we would do something like that, 2:30,
yes,
3:30,
yes.
Get into the lines and get ready to go into Gulwanthal. And here was, the same kind of thing, and
yeah.
It was just a magical week.
You never felt that, even though Swami's physical presence was not there, I think the energy levels, the enthusiasm levels and the vibration levels, I think it was one of those occasions when you felt it so strongly.
Absolutely. And I guess that is what Swami is.
That is what Swami is.
Right? Swami is that feeling in our hearts.
Yes.
When tears well up in our eyes and when hair stand up on their ends and when we are touched, we take a resolution to do something to our lives. The beautiful speeches, some of the best speeches I've heard in a very long time in Gulwanthal by some of the very accomplished people in society, was also something which is inspiring and fantastic. So, I think overall, really kudos to the organizing team for having got almost everything right. And most importantly, gratitude, sheer gratitude to Swami for fantastic. Only someone like God can do this. I think not someone like God, only God can do this.
Only God can do it. Fantastic.
In fact, I'm reminded of a song which comes to my mind. It's in Hindi. It's a very beautiful song. It goes something like, Madhuban khushbu deta hai, Sagar saavan deta hai, Jeena uska jeena hai, Jo auron ko jeevan deta hai, Madhuban khushbu deta hai. It means that the garden knows only how to give fragrance and the clouds only know how to give us rainfall. And the entire nature always teaches us to give and give and give.
Wow.
And only such can be called a life which is lived for others. For even it was Swami Vivekananda who said that the heart that beats for others is living.
Yes.
A heart that beats for oneself is better dead than alive.
Than alive.
And, seeing this whole thing and even the stanzas, Suraj na ban paaye to, ban ke deepak jalta chal. One may not be able to become the sun, but we can definitely become the small little lamps and shine forth. And when I saw all of these brothers and sisters
yes.
around, for the World Youth Conference, I felt that, these are the lamps lit by Bhagwan, lit by that Koti Surya Samaprabha, the crores of sun has lit all these lamps and he has sent all of them, into the world to shine forth his love and wisdom to the entire world.
We have no clue what difference actually they are making, silently. I think one day in time to come, we will see the colossal collective conflagration.
Yes.
Of these lamps. I think together, once we see the impact that they make.
Correct. I'm sure it will happen. We hope to be alive to see that. And even if it does not happen in the way we think.
Correct.
It should happen. Yeah. I'm sure the work is silently going on.
It is happening and amazing things are happening. Just like this World Youth Festival happened here, I think there are so many beautiful things happening all the time at the regional level, national level,
Yes.
And everything is actually, I think if 3,000 people came, 10,000 youth wanted to come,
Yes, absolutely.
And so many were connected thanks to technology. And imagine how many people are actually so much into it, celebrating Swami in their life, celebrating goodness in their life, celebrating beauty and virtue in their life. And I think that is really fantastic. And the World Youth Festival just gave us a very, very amazing and beautiful glimpse.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, brother.
Thank you, brother.
Sairam. So
The song that Amey alluded to, Madhuvan Khushbu Deta Hai, is really a very profound one. Once in a while, we come across songs whose lyrics just blow you away. They are so profound that you want to sing them again and again just to relish their essence, which is so revitalizing. Jeena uska jeena hai jo auron ko jeevan deta hai. Only that life is truly a life that adds life to the existence of others. Only that life is a life that lives for others. Only that heart is truly a heart that beats for others. In the previous episode of Utsaha, I shared with you how as a teenager, as a young Baba, Bhagwan, when he was 18 years old, once destroyed a silver-coated footwear because the devotee took objection to it, and Swami said, I will never do anything that my devotees do not approve of. I also told you how he lived in a cave for 6 months in the hills surrounding Puttaparthi and silently suffered all the hardships when the people of Puttaparthi wanted to make his life miserable by not giving him any space or shelter to stay anywhere in the village. He underwent everything without ever confronting, questioning or challenging them, even though he has all the powers at his command. He could just make everyone numb for their entire life and for entire lifetimes. But he silently bore all the insult and injury and waited patiently for them to understand through love. How even when Mother Subhamma gave him land and a hut was built, miscreants burned down that hut. And Swami's only reaction was a smile. And how on Krishna Janmashtami day, in this month, more than 70 years ago, the construction of the new mandir started. And it was ready in 3-4 months and inaugurated on the Vaikuntha Ekadashi day on December 14th, 1945. So the inauguration ceremony had a procession accompanied by a musical troupe. The procession was called Urigimpu, which means the procession which goes round the town. And there were two idols on the florally decorated palanquin. One was a statue of young Satya Sai and the other was of Shirdi Sai. And Swami, during the entire procession, sweetly kept his hands on both these idols all through the entire session of the procession. Later in the day, there was a great feast organized by a devotee, Miss Savitrama from Bangalore. So many people were fed that day literally by Swami's grace because Savitrama's devotion was so pure. The food was not sufficient. Swami just touched those vessels and the quantity magically increased, multiplied, and everyone who had come returned satisfied, relishing the heavenly banquet. But all this only angered some local people because they just could not stand Swami's popularity. They were all the time working overtime, thinking how to damage Swami's good name and reputation. So one of them had this idea. He brought a plate of sweets for distribution to devotees on the inauguration day. And just when that prasadam plate was about to be given to all, Swami told a senior devotee that this particular plate of laddus should be kept aside. Later, Swami revealed that all the laddus in that plate were poisoned. And after everyone had dispersed, Swami then waved his hand, extracted all the poison from that plate, and then directed that all those laddus should now be buried in a pit. People only loved Swami more because of this. Because they knew, they learned how Swami had indeed saved their lives. They hailed him more. They wanted to work for him more. If we ever try to harm a divine being, a holy person or a pure soul, we will only be adding to their glory and digging our own grave. No man can harm the divine. No man can harm a pure soul. Even that thought will only destroy them and double the glory of the holy man. The mandir in those days was very small with a veranda in front and a room on either side with a hall. It could accommodate only about 50 people. There was a small bathroom behind the hall and one had to cross the hall to go to the backyard to access that bathroom.
and Swami's personal quarters. His living space was tiny. He had no attached restroom, no attached bathroom. He had no privacy. On the western side of the hall, the idols of Shirdi Sai and Parthi Sai were installed, and every day Swami himself used to perform the puja. First, Swami would clean the shrine and decorate the pictures and idols with garlands, sandalwood paste and vermilion. And as he would do this, as he would decorate the shrine, he would be saying these four lines. Bear all, do nothing. Hear all, say nothing. Give all, take nothing. Serve all, be nothing. Bear all, do nothing. Hear all, say nothing. Give all, take nothing. Serve all, be nothing. This was his message to all when he was 18. The whole essence of the puja that Swami was doing is this. And so amazingly he was conveying this message. One should be just like that sandalwood tree which gives all and takes nothing. Even if it is hurt and even if it is chopped and it is hammered, it only gives out sweet fragrance. Just like the flowers who bear all and say nothing. They may be plucked, pricked or trampled upon, but they say nothing. They are only most delighted when they are cared for, and they are most ecstatic when they are offered to the Lord. Just like the wormlin, kumkum, which is red in color, red in sacrifice. To serve all, be nothing. This is what Swami was communicating even as he was doing the ritual. The spiritual behind the ritual is what is most important. And imagine Swami himself doing the puja. He himself used to do the puja. In fact, he would sit on a small granite slab inscribed on which was Om, and he would sit facing the shrine. He himself would sing and lead the bhajans, and at the end of the bhajan, he would again himself break the coconuts, collect the water, go around sprinkling that water on whoever was present, and again, finally, he would do the aarti. Not only this, he would again personally distribute the prasadam, and the prasadam would be this coconut scrapings mixed with sugar. Personally, he would give it to every devotee. And after this, he would call people for interview and listen to each one's problems with great patience and love. He ensured that everyone who came to him was spoken to, and he or she returned unburdened, returned happy, returned light. This is how Swami, as a young one in his 20s, in spite of so many evil-minded people constantly trying to disrupt whatever he was doing, people not giving him space, people burning his house, people poisoning his devotees and so on. But come what may, the young Satya persevered, and the first mandir was indeed built, and he himself taught how to worship, how to sing, how to serve, every little bit, doing it himself, leading by example and doing it untiringly, unceasingly, day after day, till people got some idea of what he is trying to convey. One cannot imagine how much Himalayan patience the Lord demonstrated, was teaching, he was demonstrating. Imagine a PhD, if he has to teach ABCD year after year, and people are too slow, nobody is learning. People don't get it, but he continues. He is a doctorate, but he cannot teach more than ABCD. People forget, he has to go on reminding them, but he perseveres. And he does it because he is here only to give. Give all, take nothing. He's only here to serve. Serve all, be nothing. And he was doing it just to ensure that we develop love for the right things in life. Just so that we are happier in life. Just so that we are stress-free. That we feel fulfilled with the years spent on earth. And when you think of it, this continued till the very end of his earthly sojourn. He was relentless in trying to impart and imprint these lessons, and he used to do it through various means. These lessons came through various approaches that Bhagwan took for each person. And actually the scene became even more interesting and lively once the college opened and you had so many teenagers and youngsters around Swami, and the way Swami was now instilling these lessons was also very interesting. Let's listen to one humorous episode by Brother Ranganath Raju. Saram, Brother Ranganath Raju, and welcome once again to Utsah, the Youth Hour on Radio Sai.
Saram, Brother.
Last time we had a very beautiful session where you shared about how Bhagwan, in his own inevitable manner, lets us know that he is the one who knows everything, but pretends he knows nothing, but we are the ones who know nothing, but mistakenly many times think we know everything. But Raju, you know, they say smile is a curve that sets many things straight.
Yeah.
So have you experienced any moments where Bhagwan's that smile, that word, you know, set everything straight?
Yeah. I kind of recollect 2-3 instances. I'm sure you kind of recollect the time where we are just, when we were students, the batches from 2003 to 2006-07. Swami would get almost every alternate day an opportunity to do programs, to do drama in the corridor. So almost on a daily basis, we used to have some program or the other. And one important criteria for us, and few of us would take lead, and Swami was, you know, gracious, and I would say he is just compassion, that he would give few of us little more chances. And our aim was that almost all of our classmates should get an opportunity to come and do the program in front of Swami. So in that enthusiasm and in that innocent enthusiasm to get everyone onto stage, there were some 2-3 funny instances which had happened.
Mm-hmm.
One such comes straight to my mind is, you know, there was one classmate of mine who would always take a back seat, who would not like to come forward. So one day we thought, why should not he come and do a program? Why can't he take some role and, you know, let him be noticed on the stage, and it gives a very good booster for him and many other things. Also our innocent prayer that Swami, Lord, please give him a chance. The incident was that a king is passing by, and as the king passes by, across on the other side of the street comes a great guru, and as the king notices the guru, king gets on the chariot and he prostrates the guru, and minister who is just behind the king, he asks as to why he is doing that. Then the king explains to him, saying that a crown that does not bow to the ochre robe, what is the use of it? Basically saying that the material wealth should be bowing down to the spiritual knowledge. That was a greater lesson. That was the anecdote which Swami used to say, and we made little modification to the anecdote, and I was the comparer of the program. I was basically comparing instances as Yama. I was telling the Jiva about the intricacies of Dharma and the greatness of spiritual knowledge. So this classmate of ours was supposed to be doing the guru role, and the king was passing by. So the entire event sequence would take not more than 30 seconds. So the guru is passing by and the king prostrates. In less than 2-3 seconds, the guru should open up and bless him, saying, Guru Putra lay, Guru Putra get up. So the dialogue is supposed to say. So the classmate of mine, he got up on the other side. Apparently his face looked very confident. It looked very, very confident. I thought, wow. And all of us are, you know, looking forward.
First time he's
coming out to stage.
Mm.
And, you know, Swami also gave, you know, Swami apparently physically had not seen him earlier. Mm. And he also gave that kind of inquisitive look. What this boy is going to say?
Mm.
There he was very confident in his walk. And across from the other side of the stage comes the king and looks at this guru and he prostrates.
Mm.
Immediately as he prostrates, the guru should open up and say, Guru Putra lay.
Get up.
Guru Putra, get up.
Mm.
That is very important, because that you word, I was playing on the Putra word to connect to the other scene.
Okay. He is saying Guru Putra, get up, is very important.
Very important.
Mm.
My classmate saying Guru Putra was very, very important. And I was on the other side. I was the comparer. I was waiting. This classmate of mine took the mic. He just looks at the king, looks at Swami, looks at me, but not a word.
Oh my God, nothing comes out.
I was indicating. I was basically waving my left hand to asking him, indicating.
Hmm.
And from there he's blessing me with a smiling face.
He's smiling. But words are not coming out.
Just not coming out. From his eyes I could make out that his memory is blank. Basically stage fright.
Oh my God.
He just lost all dialogues. And you should have seen the look on Swami's face. Swami is just looking as if, you know, Swami is experiencing that own embarrassment. He's just not looking at anyone else. He's just concentrating. He's essentially avoiding the VIP's looks.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because very protective.
Yeah, know, very,
Swami.
Very protective.
Yeah. And
and this classmate of mine.
And the king has prostrated, right?
Yeah, he's just looking at the king who is lying down. King is looking up and saying, I tell ya.
Bless me, I will get up.
Bless me, use the word. 5 seconds over, 10 seconds over, 15 seconds. Oh. Not the king on the ground, priest without a word, but a mic and smiling face and blessing the Yama on the other side.
Oh my God!
And here was Swami looking at Yama and the priest, Yama and the Guru, and the lying down king. 30 seconds passed by.
This boy got 30 seconds. What is going to happen? 2 seconds. 3 seconds.
30 seconds. This boy got so frightened. He just caught the mic and said, "Suru, suru." That's it. It's just some blabbering. Suru, suru. The king just got up.
Oh, he just got up. He didn't wait for the dialogue.
That dialogue was not there. It's just some, essentially, I would say it's a blab. It just came out.
Okay.
Suru, what do you explain? I just looked blankly.
It is like some stage fright came in, yeah, the box. Suru. Came out.
So, is it tried something and connected the scene? Mm-hmm. But four of us knew that episode was a flop.
Major goof.
Major goof. These three boys and along with the fourth one is Swami. We don't know what. How do we represent to Swami? How do we go and tell Swami? The program went off well. Later, other scene, the experienced actors came up and the program came up quite very well. And everybody was appreciative of it. But there was an intellectual, a very important person next sitting next to Swami. He was very keenly observing the entire presentation.
Mm-hmm.
So, this boy, when he made the Suru dialogue to cover up the goof up, I made a big poem. I just recited one poem saying that how great is that word of the great priest. Essentially, it means nothing.
Oh. But but something, you are also amazing. On the spot, yeah,
on the spot he just came up with a poem reciting, saying how great is the word of the great preceptor.
Mm-hmm.
I just kind of diverted the thought of the audience.
Mm.
But this person being intellectual in his thought, he just latched on to that scene.
Mm-hmm.
So there was Swami, after the program went off, Swami was blessing each one of us. And I went and told Swami very softly, Swami kshaminchandi, tappaipoyindi. Swami said, paravaled, paravaled.
You said, Swami, please,
Swami,
forgive,
please forgive us.
Mm-hmm.
Swami said, it's okay, it's okay. Mm-hmm. Swami apparently made out, being the Lord, that too an experienced dramatist, he made out this boy's stage fright. So this boy came for blessing. And this person who was sitting next to Swami looked at Swami. And when he was doing pranam, probably to encourage Swami, Swami gave a big smile and did like that. To basically blessed him.
Hmm.
And then immediately asked, Swami, what did this boy say?
Oh, this intellectual
asked. The intellectual sitting next to Swami asked.
Hmm.
Swami apparently wanted to ignore him. He just did not want that failure to come up.
That is the only weakest link in the book.
And this program. Person caught that weakest link in the program.
Oh, God.
And on top of it, he's inquiring. He's,
he's like rubbing salt on the wound.
So as soon as I heard the question, I just looked, turned around. I was looking at the devotees, and Swami also apparently acted as if he was not listening, and he is blessing boys one after another. Again, this person, he got up and, Swami, what does that suru mean?
Oh my God.
Then without God, I mean, this person caught on the word.
Caught on.
We don't know what to do. I just went little back. I was kneeling and I was praying that, Lord, please save us. Other side was my classmate of mine. He was shivering, and this person happens to be of very quite influence in the system. So we were very scared. That if the truth comes out, that would be the last time that we would be ever doing a program. You should see the boy's face. You know, his hands were shivering, looking at Swami, wide and eyes. And Swami apparently ignored the second time question. Third time, he could not keep quiet. Swami, what does that suru mean?
Oh my God.
This time it was too loud, Swami could not ignore him. And the beauty of the Lord, without a fraction of a second, just Swami looked, turns at him and says, Su means manchi, Ru means rutamu.
Oh,
so, see how beautiful, and call the boy again, blessed him. The intellectual was dumbstruck. Wow, Swami, what a word. What a way in which the great preceptor conveyed the lesson.
So, Su means goodness.
Goodness.
Ru means rhythm.
Rhythm. That just
truth.
Truth. That wow. Ultimate truth. I was amazed at how Swami, apparently a goof up, Swami just turned it around like that. And the same person after the drama comes up and tells, appreciates his voice, saying, what a beautiful dialogue. Two letter word, you have communicated such a great philosophy. And I was struck.
Oh my God.
And the other incident I would recollect is, I had one more classmate of mine, a great, very good poet, a great hearted individual, noble heart.
There are many more stories. We'll hear to them in the coming episodes of Utsaha. No one can demystify your problems like the divine can. If anyone can ever liberate us from a mess that we have got into, it is only this mysterious, magnificent one. And the way he will do it, the way he does it, is so fantastic. isn't it? Sometime back, I asked Mr. Sai Surendranath, one of the most senior most members of the alumni of Sai University, alumni group of Sai University. I asked him, when you think of Swami as a youth icon, what comes to your mind? Because he's someone who has lived with Bhagwan for nearly four decades, sitting right under his nose, literally for almost 30 years, sitting first in the bhajan group. And he has observed Bhagwan like few have done. And he did share very, very significant, pertinent things. I played for you a little of what he had said in the first episode of Utsaha. Let's listen to a little more today, where he goes on to give some very important tips for the youth, something that he has learned living with Swami for 40 years. Every other person whom we take as an ideal, being human, they probably will have their own frailties.
Yes.
And their weaknesses. You know, they might be good in one particular thing. A sports person might be great in handling the bat.
Limited.
Yeah,
limited in particular field.
Correct.
But whereas if you see Swami, he touches millions of hearts.
Yes.
In that millions of hearts, there can be sports personality, there can be political personality, touches everyone.
Yes.
That is what our youth should learn.
Yes.
Touch everyone.
Yes.
When you make an attempt, you may not be able to do as what Baba was doing. Definitely, a few people, you can touch them somewhere. You can be part of their mind and part of their love. That is very important. That is what I feel that we must
have Bhagwan as the ideal.
Bhagwan as an ideal. That would be a good one that you should do. The second one, I felt we always celebrate our National Youth Day. National Youth Day is 12th Jan.
Swami Vivekananda's birthday.
So once, there's a beautiful quotation what Vivekananda himself gave us is, take risks in your life. You must accept. Everywhere risk is there. It is inevitable. Face it. Accept risk. While accepting, there are two things that can happen. One, you may win. If you win, you may lead. On the contrary, if you lose, you may guide others.
Oh, okay. So even if you lose, you can guide others.
Yes. Why? Because when you win and you become a leader and you are able to do that, everybody will follow because of the seeing your success, seeing your achievement, seeing your name, fame, everything. They will automatically follow. But when you falter, when you lose, people always, maintain distance. But if you can guide them that why I faltered, what was the mistake, what was the wrong thing that I did, if you can guide, that is also people will appreciate. See, there is positive even in negative.
Yeah. But that will happen only if you decide to take the risk.
Yes. That is why, like Swami, you should have no difference. You should see everything common. So that kind of maturity slowly we have to get. Usually, sink or swim. Our attitudes are like that. If everything comes positive, we swim. If something goes wrong, we sink.
Mm.
It's a mind game.
Yes.
But when you see Swami, nothing disturbs him.
Yes.
Nothing disturbs him. You do good also, when people praise also, he is fine.
Yes.
Even otherwise, he is fine.
Yes.
I think that is what we must do that. In this context, I remember one very funny small story. A young youth, he wanted to marry a farmer's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So he approached the farmer. Sir, I want to marry your daughter. Farmer looked at this youth and he said, oh, is that so? Okay, fine. You go to the field, wait there, I will come. I will just give you a small challenge. Let me say whether you can accomplish that or not. He said, well, okay. And this guy was standing and the farmer told him, I will send one by one three bulls. All that you need to do is just hold the tail of the bull. That's enough for me. Nothing more.
You don't have to control the bull. Just hold the tail of the bull. That's enough. This youth thought, that's a very silly and simple job that can be easily, you know, done. So he was waiting with full enthusiasm. And there comes the first bull. Damn strong, heavy, ferocious. Seeing itself, you know, a little bit he's scared. But still he felt that he is not bothered about this. He only have to catch the tail of the bull. And mentally prepared. That came charging towards this guy. And never gave the opportunity. Just kicked him aside and then went off. Then he thought, doesn't matter. I have one more chance to win. And the second one came. Though it was not that tough. But still, he was mentally prepared to tackle the situation. So the bull came. There also, he missed. Then, only one last hope. Win or lose. So there comes the third one. Very weak. Not healthy. Not able to even walk properly. Then our man felt that, yes, this I will never miss the opportunity because it is not like the first one and the second one. I can easily hold on to the tail of this bull. And when it came closer to him, he pounced and wanted to catch the bull's tail. Unfortunately, that bull never had any tail.
Oh, that bull did not have it.
No tail.
Hmm.
So he fell down. So from this, what is that we learn? Life always is full of opportunities. But when the opportunity comes at the right time, make the best use of it. And if you can postpone it, or if you can say next, or next, and next, by then, you will not be youthful.
Mm.
You will become old, like that old bull, incapable of doing anything.
As Bhagwan says, you know, if you keep saying next, 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 it's rest, 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 you become rust.
Like that it is.
Yeah.
So I think when there is right opportunity, you must.
I think it goes back to the previous point, I mean, what you mentioned, you have to take risk.
You have to take risk.
Yeah. And especially when you have age and strength.
That metal to do, willpower to do.
Yeah.
You must accomplish.
You got to take risk.
Yeah. Otherwise, will be the third part of bull. The third thing I always wanted our youth to pay attention is, nowadays because of education or because of placement of job, our families are scattered and shattered, I will say.
Mm.
Each one is in one corner. So that love, that affinity, all that is gone because we are never living together. But there are some families, definitely, even today, they are all lived with their loved ones and having a gala time. That is also there. But in my observation, I felt that 75% of the people are falling into this type of, you know, situation. Because of that, what happens, the distance, that love, that affinity, you know, slowly, slowly, we get attracted and committed with some other job. The family tie-up, the family attachment is slowly going low. We are not able to serve our parents. For example, even if you take my life also, my parents are in Bangalore and I'm here. Luckily, they are in Bangalore. So, I'm always keeping in touch.
Mm.
But there are some people who are abroad.
Mm.
And especially when parents become very old.
Yes.
That is the time they need attention. That is the time they need their loved ones to be with them. But it is sometimes, in some occasions, it is not feasible. It is not practical.
Mm.
So, what they do is, they put them in
old age home
or somewhere like that. Maybe they're paying all that is taken care. But I think whatever it is, but still we have to keep in touch. Today's youth, you know, you have to keep in touch with each other wherever you are.
Mm.
And that gap should not be there. You should feel closer to them, even though physically you are very far.
Yes.
And you should feel still closer to them and it'll be very nice. I think that is very important that all the youth must make some effort, find some method of doing it.
Today's times, thanks to technology, you can keep in touch if you want.
If you want.
On a day-to-day basis, hourly basis if you want.
You want.
But I think as you also rightly said, I mean, there is no substitute to being physically there.
Yeah.
But the next best thing is at least try and be in touch.
Yeah.
Because you can serve them only if you are physically there.
Correct.
If you are away from them physically, you can at least emotionally be there with the help of technology.
Yeah, they will feel happy at least.
Yes.
Through Skype or whatever it is, you know.
Yes.
But many people, even that type of thing is also not there. There is a beautiful incident which I came across. One mother was in old age home, and the son is abroad, and then all the facilities are there, of course, and then doctor informs the son, saying that she almost gone, and tomorrow is the last date, you better you come and see her once. So the son comes back and meets his mother, and mother immediately, you know, looks at her son and says, my dear child, I'm very happy to see you during my last few hours of this day, but I have a small wish. Can you fulfill my wish? Mm-hmm. He said, yes, mom. Tell me whatever you want. I will definitely fulfill your wish. Tell me what you want. No. I just want a cot, a nice cot, and a good soft mattress, and if possible, one air conditioner. Then son surprisingly looks at his mother. Mother, why all that? Why you need all that? Anyway, time is up. Then he said, no. Mother says, it's not for me. Then immediately son says, oh, if it is not for you, then for whom? For others. Why we should waste money for others? No need to spend money. No, beta, it is not for others. He says, it is for you. Because like me, a day will come, you will also come and stay here. I know, as a child, how I cared for you. You needed the best cot, you needed the best mattress, and you will sleep only in AC room. That facility is not here. So it is better if you do it now, it will be of great help for you.
My God.
Son was totally shocked. Then he felt, what was the missing link? What missed in his life? It's always like that. Only when thorn pricks your feet, then you know how painful it is.
Yes.
So then only he realized what mistake that he did, how all that feeling comes back. But if there is no
but,
time.
Even at that stage, the mother is thinking of her son's welfare only.
That is why mother. She is the true mother. In spite of all the sufferings I went through, but I don't want my son to go through that. See, that is the love of mother. That is only one mother's love. But yes. Our Swami always says, this is thousand mother's love. It's very, very difficult to even comprehend and understand. We just have to live by it. I think all of us, wherever we are and whatever we are, as youth, we must, from the source, all that love, attention, what we got, we should never forget the source. We should be always think about that, because that source only became our resource.
Yes.
And tomorrow we will be source for someone else.
Correct.
So life is a cycle.
Yes.
It just goes on. I think Swami in many occasions have mentioned this in different ways, in a polished way. I think all our youth must follow that path.
I think that is something very profound. You mentioned we should always remember our source, our immediate source,
yes,
which is our physical parents, and the divine source,
because
of whom, the very fact that we are able to breathe is because of him. And everything around us is because he has orchestrated it. And,
correct,
you know, we can never even count the blessings that he has conferred on us. And as you also mentioned, I think in every discourse that Bhagwan gave to students, somehow this one was always there. If he spoke to students in the hostel or in the college, I think he always was emphatic on this.
Matru Devo Bhava, Pitru Devo Bhava.
Yes. And he himself did it.
Yes.
We saw Bhagwan, how he used to cut short his Kodai trips. You come to Puttaparthi in the month of May, only so that the Mother Isharama Day can be celebrated here. He will go to the Samadhi and he will garland the statues of Mother Isharama and Padra Venkaparaju on those days. And I've seen, especially in the last 7-8 years of Bhagwan's earthly sojourn, we saw that even though it was so hot in Prashantanirayam during that, you will generally not find people in the month of May in Parthi, but Bhagwan used to come.
Yes. That is why I think Swami establishing this institution and all, it is not that outside education is not there, or the main idea, concept of Swami is to revive the customs, revive the tradition, revive all that what we are losing slowly. Correct, no? We are losing track of our traditions, our customs, our culture. I think that is what Swami is trying to bring us back along with this.
Connect us to our roots.
Yes, connect us to our roots.
Yes. So that we can grow strong and steady.
Perfect.
Yes. Perfect. Yes. Yeah. Fantastic.
So that was Mr. Sai Surendranath, and yes, it is so important for us to strengthen our roots. Only then we can experience the fruits of peace, the fruits of happiness. And Swami took every opportunity to communicate this to the youth, communicate this to the students. Let me pray for you just one such instance. We just celebrated India's Independence Day on August 15th, and here you have Swami exhorting the youth to know the preciousness of Indian culture and live up to it to make their lives meaningful.
Pavitratma Swaruplaina Vidyarthulara, Bharatiya Sanskriti aina Pavitramu Manamu ee Bharatiya Yuvakulainatuvanti Meeru పునరుద్ధరింప చేసే నిమిత్తమై తిరిగి ఈనాడు అట్టి సంస్కృతిని మీ రక్తం ద్వారా ప్రసరించేయడానికి తగినటువంటి ప్రయత్నం పూనుకోవాలి.
Through the veins and arteries of Indian young men, water does not flow. It is blood that flows through their veins and arteries. Today, you have to make a determination to revive this sacred culture of India through your own efforts.
సత్యమునకై మన జీవితమునకును అర్పితం చేయడానికి సంసిద్ధమై ఉంటుండాలి భారతీయ యువకులు.
యంగ్ మెన్ ఆఫ్ ఇండియా షుడ్ బి ప్రిపేర్డ్ టు సాక్రిఫైస్ ఈవెన్ దేర్ లైవ్స్ ఫర్ ది సేక్ ఆఫ్ ట్రూత్.
అట్టి సత్య మార్గమును అవలంబించి సత్యజ్యోతిని వెలిగించి సత్య దేశమని సార్థక నామాన్ని అందుకున్నటువంటిది భారతదేశము.
దిస్ కంట్రీ ఇండియా హ్యాస్ బీన్ సచ్ దట్ ఇట్ హ్యాస్ ట్రావెర్స్డ్ అలాంగ్ ది పాత్ ఆఫ్ ట్రూత్. That it has lit the lamp of truth and that it has shed all over the light of truth.
Dese kala paristhitula yokka prabhavamunaku lobadi nedu atti satyamunaku bharatiyulu adi dooramai haasyaspadamunaku guri ayyetuvanti paristhiti erpadinatundi.
Today Indians have submitted themselves to the situations apparently relating to their country, relating to the contemporaneous time, and relating to the environment through which they are passing, and they have forgotten their greatness of their culture.
Matru Devo Bhava, Pitru Devo Bhava, Acharya Devo Bhava, Aditi Devo Bhava, Anekvinti Yaka Sattakamainatvinti Yaka Pavitramaina Vektatvanni Manam Yeenadu Kevalamu Oka Kutruvamainatvinti Jeevitanga Manam Anubhavinchukovalsinatvinti Avastha Yerpadinatvintidi.
These sacred tenets that have been given to us, respect your mother as God, respect your father as God, respect your teacher as God, respect your guest as God. These sacred tenets that have been given to us have become meaningless in our own makeup today.
Atti marpu chendinatvanti Bharata Deshamunu tirigi meeru పవిత్రమైనటువంటి యొక్క సనాతన ధర్మంగా మీరు పునరుద్ధరింపచేయటానికి తగినటువంటి ప్రయత్నం చేసేటువంటి నిమిత్తమై ఇట్టి సమావేశములు ఏర్పరచి అందులో అనుభవజ్ఞులైనటువంటి పెద్దలతో సంభాషణలు కల్పించి తద్వారా మీ హృదయమును పరివర్తనగావించేటువంటి యొక్క ప్రయత్నమునకు పూనుకోవటమే మా యొక్క ప్రధానమైనటువంటి లక్ష్యము.
Such changes have come about in our country. It is with a view to expose you to the greatness of our ancient culture, such gatherings have been arranged. In such gatherings, experienced people have been invited to let you know what the greatness of our culture is, and also thereby to change our hearts. Our purpose in having such schools, the summer schools, is to take you to these heights of appreciation of the ancient culture of our country.
So that was from a summer course discourse on Indian culture and spirituality, perhaps from the 70s. But this was Swami's message all along. In all these years that I have heard his discourses, Swami always emphasized on the tenets of Indian culture, on Matru Devo Bhava, Pitru Devo Bhava, Acharya Devo Bhava, Atithi Devo Bhava. Swami once gave a beautiful definition of culture and said culture is concern for others. Of course, we would be the most cultured person on earth once we see Swami in everyone and in everything around us just as clearly as we see Him when we close our eyes. And yes, there are so many people who are on this journey, who are on this exciting journey and making exciting progress. Let me share with you a mail I received from a youth from
Nepal, Dipen Karki, a brother from Nepal, and he said that since World Youth Conference 2007, they have been conducting study circles there regularly, non-stop, for 9 years now. And he says, it has changed the way how a youth of the 21st century who was about to be grasped by the attraction of the modern amenities and the circle of bad company and the illusion of ignorance, today has realized the ultimate goal of life. Today is not lost. Dipen Karki from Kathmandu, Nepal, he says, we have completed all the discourses Swami has given in the World Youth Conferences, topics related to the youth, all volumes of Pathways to God book, all volumes of Satyam Sundaram, and currently we are undergoing the series, My Dear Students books. These are the volumes that they have used for their study circles over 9 years. And he says the difference that the study circle has made to him and to that little group in Kathmandu. He says, first thing, they saw the miracles, the compassion of Swami and his mission as revealed by him. They understood, secondly, how should the activities of the Satyasaya organization be done correctly. Third, they understood service is the ultimate goal of every spiritual endeavor. Without service to mankind, all spiritual exercise is futile. Fourth, Swami loves the inner feeling of a devotee and not the external pomp and show. And fifth, they have understood how to balance secular life with spirituality, how to enhance their spiritual knowledge so that they can strike the middle path between secular life and spiritual life. Well, Brother Dipen Karki, thank you so much for sharing, and this is such a commendable satsang going on since 2007. Really grateful to you, brother, for sharing this. And I know there are so many such initiatives in all corners of the globe being done with so much of passion, commitment and devotion by youth everywhere. And listening to such stories only fill you with so much of inspiration, so much of josh, so much of motivation to be on this path. You know, there are so many with you and doing so wonderfully well, so excitingly well. Dear brothers and sisters, let's share such tales of love, such tales of togetherness, goodness and fulfillment. Tales where we celebrate Swami in our lives. That's the whole purpose of Utsaha. We should celebrate these moments of Utsaha, these moments of rejoicing God in our lives, rejoicing goodness in our lives. So if you have any such tales or any such instances which excite you, you feel so happy, you feel like saying, thank you Swami, I love you, please do share in those high moments. You know, this today the whole world is connected through Wi-Fi. I would say, let us be connected through sci-fi. Share these sci-fi moments. You can send them to my email address, bishu@radiosai.org, B-I-S-H-U, B for Baba, I for India, S for Sai, H for Humility, U for Unity, bishu@radiosai.org. Please share your sci-fi moments. Let's sci-fi our lives, because that is the high we need. That is the ultimate high with Sai that we all seek. And if you hold our hands together, we can do it. And we can do it so wonderfully, so excitingly, so exaltingly. Wow, it's been a beautiful session, dear brothers and sisters, and it's time to wind up. Thank you so much for being with us. I just can't come out of this feeling that let's sci-fi our lives. I think that is what we need to do. So please let us do it together. If you have any queries or comments on this program, you can always share them. Write to listener@radiosai.org. And we'll come back with a new episode of Utsaha in 15 days. The next week we'll have a series of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. But on September 1st, 2016, we will have another episode of Utsaha. Let's keep the energy going. Let's keep our enthusiasm for Sai skyrocketing. Thank you so much. And loving salutations to Bhagwan for these beautiful moments with all of you. Loving salutations to Bhagwan for this beautiful opportunity. Thank you so much. Sai Ram.